Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We just dove into the scale of liberty. And what I've done is I've tried to create the imagery so that you can look at a stripe or a bar going from left to right. And on the far left is, and I know it's opposite of the political polar sides, but on the far left is white, where true, full liberty exists, where everybody must follow and make their own decisions, get informed based on their decisions, and live on their decisions and the consequences of it. So in other words, you can't be compelled into, you know, any choice. You have to make the best and most informed choice that you possibly can. And so what we want to do, and we kind of laid out that it goes from white to black, and that there's all of these shades of gray getting darker and darker as you work your way to black. So it is a gradual scale of enslavement, as I was just basically saying, as we ended the episode, the previous episode, that the far end was black and it was full slavery, subjugation. You lost your liberty and your choice. As you know, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. You think I forgot? No. But we are focused on content. We're not focused on news cycles. And we constantly, we try to help you understand that whatever is happening in the news will not solve the problem. I mean, there are immediate measures in first aid, right? Start the breathing, stop the bleeding, treat for shock. But for us to heal, for us to actually overcome this infliction of tyranny, we have to understand the problem and understand what the solution is and how the ratification debates are the key, because understanding, reading and understanding the ratification debates, which is where we're heading right now, and this is what we're focused on, reading and understanding these things helps you understand infinitely what the Constitution and how it was defined and the terms and definitions of what everything means in the Constitution. So therefore, by you reading the ratification debates, you have a better insight as to how the Constitution is supposed to work than those Supreme Court justices. They have a good education on this thing called constitutional law and the precedents and case law. There are some that quote-unquote claim to be originalists with a real intent and don't accept some of the stuff, but bottom line, there's not one of the Supreme Court justices that looks at the Department of Transportation or any of the 12 unconstitutional executive departments as unconstitutional, because they have not and they do not understand the Constitution in context to how it was defined and how it was stipulated and what the terms of those clauses within the Constitution mean. So therefore, they are at best kind of informed, and so this is one of the reasons why they are the culprits in allowing the general government to continue to do all of these unconstitutional things. And this is why I usually say, as I look out my window and as I look and scan through the news, there is zero evidence that the federal government is disbanding any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. And therefore, for this to happen and for us to save this country, because 85, if not more, percent of the money being spent is on unconstitutional things. They're spending us into oblivion. And I want you to understand, if we implement the solution with Republic Review, all of that fraudulent debt goes away. And we'll get into the context of all how all of this is done. But if you're chomping at the bit and you need some answers quickly, you can call our comment line, 425-270-5416, and we'll try to get those questions answered in the soonest opportunity that we can fit it in, especially when we're doing content. It's a little difficult, but I'll make sure we get it in. We'll play your voicemail, and we will actually answer exactly what it is that, you know, you want to understand or have me clarify for you. Anyway, we'd also ask that you would extend an invite to all your like-minded friends so that they can participate in the, let's just call it, there's a word for de-brainwashing, and I think the progressives use it all the time, but what we want to do is basically purge all the bad education and information that has been instilled in everybody's head and help people start seeing the truth. I truly believe that once we start building on the truth of what this Constitution means and how it is supposed to function and how the states and the federal government and even county governments are supposed to work and work with each other with a symbiotic relationship in serving us, because that's what government's supposed to do. It's supposed to serve us, it's not supposed to control us. Anyway, so we'd ask that you would ask your like-minded friends and even those who might be reasonable but maybe on the fence or maybe, you know, a union Democrat. Have them listen, because this will help them, and it may frustrate them at first, because what we're telling you and what we're telling them, we know, is contrary to the education system. The education system has been indoctrinating people falsely. So anyway, that's about as much of the monologue that we want to get into and go through. So getting back to this understanding of black and white, I want you to understand that the paradigm, the wiring, and the thought process of a person that is in the white area or the zero black, let's just call it zero black, right? And it is light. So if you look at light and truth, like the light that comes from the sun, what is it, really white? No, actually, it possesses all different, it's the full spectrum of the electromagnetic spectrum of the sun. So in other words, it contains all of the different colors. It contains gamma, it contains ultraviolet, it contains infrared, it contains all these different energy rays of the electromagnetic spectrum. And so as you understand the truth of light, you can start seeing how we have deviated. How do you know when Christianity has been perverted? I mean, people look today that, you know, it is within the realm of, you know, living as a Christian, embracing homosexual marriage, abortion, and all types of what we would consider atrocious sins based on biblical definitions. How is it that churches are embracing this? Well, it's because they don't read the scriptures. It's because they don't, you know, encourage you to read the scriptures, because if you read the scriptures, you will understand how the doctrine of Christianity has been perverted and subverted by these soothsayers. It's the same thing with our government. How is it that you can even garner the fact that our government has been subverted and perverted unless you read the ratification debates? Then you really understand the importance of the militia. You understand the importance of common law, and you understand the importance of the other tools and mechanisms and the controls and constraints within the Constitution. And then you can look at what we've got today and how none of that is being applied. How they have basically bamboozled us into believing everything that they're doing is okay. You know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Anyway, what I want you to understand, though, is that there is a complete hard-wiring difference. A person that is in that white spectrum, or the lack of black, lack of any shading, that person is one that protects and dies in defending everybody from being subjected to compulsion, from being forced to live a life or to live under a scheme that is repugnant to liberty. This is why those people who are true patriots are willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. This is why throughout our history, we the Americans have made that ultimate sacrifice for liberty. Now, there may have been other schemes or other machinations or other stratagems by our government and our leaders, like in World War I and II and the Korean War and the Vietnam War. But bottom line, when we looked at all of these nations that we went into war defending the innocents and defending liberty for those people, that was the American foundation. This is why we rise to the occasion when it comes to fighting for liberty. And sadly, we've done this for every nation or so many different nations around the world, and we're not willing at this point to do it for ourselves again. And we're getting recklessly and dangerously close to that point where we will have to fight, and we will end up fighting a war that we can't win. Because back in the Revolutionary War, they had equality because muskets and cannons were equal. They didn't have this huge disparity of technology and technological weapons that cost so much money that you can't even think about. Anyway, we will be right back after this as we dive more into the scale of liberty, right after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
And so what we were just talking about, what we're trying to drive here, is the paradigm difference between liberty and subjugation, or those who believe that all people must be enslaved. Yeah, there's actually a paradigm. There is actually an ideology out there that believes that everybody must be forced. Now, as I look at the history of mankind, and even if we get into the biblical doctrine, I truly believe that Satan, Lucifer, the devil, whatever you want to call him, the great deceiver, his plan and his alternate to the, you know, for salvation of mankind, his plan was to force, compel, so that no person would have the ability to choose, that all would obey, all would be compelled, and they would be able to be saved and return because they would be sinless. Now, I'm here to tell you that in nature itself, there is no such thing as an absolute compulsion or control. It is antithetical to nature. In other words, the freedom of choice, yin and yang, go this way or that way, is inherent to nature. In other words, when one looks at the different energies and the different scientific laws, one would find that there are two absolute opposing laws. In other words, when one looks at are two opposing ends in the spectrum, let's look at sound. The characteristic of sound waves on high frequencies is very linear. In other words, they're very direct. And so you have to have ultra-high frequencies, the highest that a person's ears can hear, can be easily lost by hitting and going into something that would absorb that and not reflect that sound, and you would not hear it. Now, most things do have reflectivity, but in an anechoic chamber, you could walk by a speaker and not hear those high frequencies because they're not being reflected in the room. They're very directional, and the higher the frequency, the more directional they are. The lower the frequency, the more omnidirectional they are. So, in other words, you can walk around the backside of the speaker, and in an anechoic chamber, the only thing that you would really be hearing are the low frequencies. These are the two opposite characteristics of the sound wave. It is the same thing with light. The two opposites is white or black. And as we've said, that there are these different variations of gray, or the dimming of the white. But when one starts looking at liberty and subjugation or slavery, the wiring or the mentality of the individual is completely different. Now, as one understands liberty, liberty is actually in the full balance of natural law, because everybody has the opportunity to choose for themselves, and they must live. If you are living by natural law and true liberty, whatever your choices are, because you've made them, then you have to deal with the consequences and accountability for every single thing you did, whether that be good or bad. There are consequences. There are rewards for behaving good, and there are punishments, or if you want to call it a reward, for behaving bad. In the land of liberty, you can do whatever you choose to do. However, when you've crossed the line and affected somebody else's liberty by removing their ability because you chose otherwise, like killing somebody, then there are consequences to that, and society has come up with those types of consequences in law and government by either capital punishment, incarceration, banishment. I think there are some Indian or maybe there are Alaskan tribes, Inuit tribes, that that actually banish you from society. They cast you to an island, and that's where you have to live the rest of your life. And so it's a societal norm that there are consequences, and everybody has the freedom to choose. Well, when you get to that far end of that spectrum, when you no longer have that freedom to choose, then how can there be any consequences? The intent of subjugation and slavery is to remove all consequences and all of your accountability and responsibility. So the question is, how is it that you receive your just reward if you have no control and or input or agency in your actions. So, as one can see, it is very evil to have the paradigm of enslavement. But I want you to understand the mentality of a person in the black, in the total enslavement. They do not care about anything. They don't care about life. They don't care. They care about their own life, but they don't care about anybody's life, because if they have to kill people, if they have to do whatever it is, the ends justify the means. This is a very dangerous paradigm. It is a hostile paradigm towards liberty, and they will do whatever they need to inflict compulsion upon you. If you will not surrender on your own accord and lose your liberties, then they will do whatever is necessary. And so I want you to, this is really important, because the framers kind of understood this in such a way that the average Americans do not understand that this is the two-sided nature of politics and philosophy for the governance of man. Literally, it comes down to these two ends of the polar spectrum. Now, most people in philosophy find these variations as you go from one end to the other to create their own slice of, well, you're living in, you know, a land of free with some levels of compulsion. Well, that is still contrary to a person that believes everybody must be free to choose for themselves and live with the consequences of their choices. And it's in the opposite end. It is contrary to that person that believes everybody must be subjugated. And so this is why we have boiled ourselves into a society that finds some level of compromise in between these two spectrums. However, you can't be fooled, because once you start that path down to compulsion, it becomes easier and easier to accept greater compulsion and greater compulsion. And so we're living in a time where gene editing, behavior modification from genetics and vaccines, they've even proven this. There was a briefing in the Pentagon where this was in the early 2000s, where they were showing how they were vaccinating people in a highly religious area, how they were able to change their behavior so they weren't so dogmatic about their religion. If that's not scary, if that's not a wake-up call to you, then I want you to understand what we're really facing today, because we are facing even a darker level of evil with these vaccinations and so forth. I would rather choose to allow myself to be inflicted with COVID-19 than to take that vaccination and all the other crap that comes with it. The nanotechnology, gene editing, and the other crap that they're inducing into your body. Anyway, let me continue on this path, because as we start looking at these paradigms, you can see how it becomes in the world of liberty. Those who have the paradigm of compulsion become consumed with destroying liberty. And I will prove that, because as I told you, there's a good letter, and there's all sorts of other evidence of this, but this seems to be one of the best letters that articulates exactly how, when a person gets in line with a compulsive political movement, whether that be Islam or communism, both of them drive compulsion into society where you no longer have your own choices. You either behave or they will force you to behave, and they don't care if they kill you, because you become the example that this is what we will do if you do not behave. So anyway, This is titled The Commitment. I don't know why it was put there other than the fact that Billy Graham at the end kind of basically challenges everybody's commitment towards Christ. I want to put this into context of commitment towards liberty. I believe that if we, and this goes back to my comment regarding John Adams, and what he basically stated was the Constitution was written for a moral and righteous nation. And I truly believe that the Constitution was written for a liberty-minded people. That you may have people in society that may not be fully liberty-minded, but as I just pointed out with the scale of liberty, most people in the spectrum believe that they should have some choices. It's only the hardline communist Muslims, or I should say Islamists, that want to enforce this upon you. But I don't want to bleed into the break, so we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so here we go. Again, this was a letter, and the backstory on this was a letter that was given to Billy Graham. And what ended up happening was there was a young man that was attending some university where he ended up going down to Mexico on like an internship. And in the process, he discovered this concept of communism and the dedication of communist workers. And he became a communist. And so after he became a communist, it was, you know, they don't get into the details of how long he was involved in this, but he converted so hard and so far. Because, you know, most people think that love and those types of things kind of help soften the heart. Do you remember The Sound of Music? And that was a real-life account of how the Von Trapp family was, you know, slow in getting out of Germany, and they barely got out to save their lives. But at the very end of the movie, there was this young girl in the family that had a crush and kind of a romantic relationship with a young man who committed himself to his love for her. And as he became a Nazi, And when they actually came and they found, and he was in the I'll just say, the responding forces to come and find and capture the Von Trapp. He was there, he actually saw her. They looked at each other, and, you know, she basically says, "You gotta let us go," kind of thing, or there was that look, and he started whistling to basically, you know, "We've got him." In other words, his heart turned in no longer loving her and letting her be free, but compulsion and, you know, living by the rule that everybody must comply. And so we do have, and it's not a compulsion thing. We have a compact. The Constitution is a compact, and it is the law. And if we are to live by the law of the land, it must be complied to. It will not be complied to unless we, the people, enforce that law, or the parties to the compact, which are the states. Which is why I try to get we, the people, to focus on your state legislatures so that they will do their job. But anyway, let me get into this letter, because he kind of gives her this background as he basically breaks off their engagement for their wedding. Quote, "We communists have a high casualty rate. We're the ones who get shot and hanged and lynched and tarred and feathered and jailed and slandered." Now, you got to remember, he's in Mexico, right? Where they have an autocratic society where, you know, whoever's in charge gets to rule with whatever measures necessary. We live in virtual poverty. We turn back to the party every penny we make above what is absolutely necessary to keep us alive. We communists don't have the time or the money or any movies or concerts or T-bone steaks or decent homes and new cars. We've been described as fanatics. We are fanatics. Our lives are dominated by one great overshadowing factor, the struggle for world communism. We subordinate our petty personal selves into a great movement of humanity, and if our personal lives seem hard, our egos appear to suffer through subordination to the party, then we are adequately compensated by the thought that each of us, listen to this compensation, that each of us in his small way is contributing something new and true new and true and better for mankind. In other words, they truly believe that forcing you to behave and live a certain way is better for mankind. It's new and true and better. You know, I hate to tell this guy, but this is the oldest form of government on the books, in compulsion and so forth, because that's basically like the tribal, the tribal barons and those Neanderthal, or I should say those rudimentary, you know, governments where somebody become the biggest guy becomes the ruler. Anyway, there is one thing in which I am dead earnest, and that is the communist cause. It's my life, my business, my religion, my hobby, my sweetheart, my wife and my mistress, my bread and meat. I work at it in the daytime and dream of it at night. It holds, its hold on me grows, not lessens, as time goes on. Therefore, I cannot carry on a friendship, a love affair, or even a conversation without relating to this force which both drives and guides my life. I evaluate people, books, ideas, and action according to how they affect the communist cause and by their attitude toward it. I've already been in jail because of my ideas, and if necessary, I am ready to go before a firing squad. Now, after Billy Graham reads this, he basically comes out and says this, "Do you have that much dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ?" In Christ, he says God, but I think that's a misprint. I think it's God offers us everything, but he demands no less. And so, sorry about the typo. I probably see that every time, and I probably stumble on it every time. Maybe one of these days I'll fix that. for some reason it had C instead of G. But this was literally something I cut and pasted out. But bottom line, when you start looking at how somebody goes into the black and how they truly believe that they must do anything and everything, they will lie. As a matter of fact, there's nothing wrong with lying or these types of sins. As a matter of fact, there's a doctrine within Islam that says you can be as deceptive and dishonest as you want as long as you are furthering the cause of Islam. That is the crux. I mean, the greatest lie Satan can give us is that he doesn't exist, because once we don't believe that he exists, then there's a lot of other lies that we'll start to swallow. And so understanding how people are so wired by these ideologies that it actually drives people to war. And when I say people to war, how many wars are started because of liberty? Well, not many at all. As a matter of fact, the Revolutionary War was one that was caused not by liberty, but by the turning of the government and the rule of law. Because you got to remember, the American people, the colonies in America, they were British citizens. They felt that they were entitled under the law of Britain to the Bill of Rights, to representation. They believed that they were being mistreated based on the Britain law and based on their heritage. They felt that they were equal. They were equal and deserved representation in Parliament. And so they were willing to fight. And they pleaded and pleaded and then said, if you will not allow us to, you know, live within our birthright, then we will declare independence and live on our own accord. So in a way, was the Revolutionary War really started because there was this desire to have this liberty? Or was it because all of a sudden the rights and those protections of the law were being denied to the people, so they revolted? And if you look at every other war, I mean, all of them are driven by, let's just say, inhumane treatments and or the subjugation of people. When you start taking away the liberty of people, people are willing to fight. So this is what I say to you who happen to be blue or you happen to have a progressive slant. Are you really willing to kill people so that they will be compelled or so they will behave the way you want them to behave? Are you really willing to say you don't have the right to make that choice? And as a matter of fact, do you really believe that pulling government into a single world government, that everybody in the world must behave and act the way that the rulers of the world want us to behave? And if you really start looking at it, whether that be the Green New Deal or whether that be how you work, how you live, you got to remember Plato's Republic exposed the whole concept of statism. This is why in my book I refer to communists as Platonists, because Platonists believe that the state is the most important thing. But the way Plato laid it out, it's not how the communists are pulling their strings or getting things to happen. In Plato's Republic, there were teachers that actually helped people fall into where they belonged in society, and that it didn't matter where you were, you had a place. And there were the elitists who, in Plato's Republic, they couldn't own property, that only the working people could own property. But the elitists were able to, let's just say, not own the property, but control the property so that they lived the lifestyle that they needed to live as elitists. Anyway, so when we come back, we'll kind of wrap up on the scale of liberty. And this way, we can start driving into natural law and the concepts of natural law in our republic. We'll be right back after these two promos.
you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as you can see, the concept of individual liberty has a lot more to it than what, you know, people would just kind of say free agency. And as a matter of fact, what I typically do is I typically, you know, read this, cite myself, and that's what I'll call it, because this is a little snippet out of my book. When we talk about individual liberty and sovereignty, when we talk about natural law, I actually expose you to some parts of my book. And this one right here basically lays out the importance of individual liberty in society. And it basically, it's this, quote, "Civil society is wholly dependent upon the symbiosis, the mutual benefits," right? That's what symbiosis means, the mutual benefits between the fundamental principles of liberty. Those fundamental principles are free agency, responsibility, and accountability. When these principles are balanced and in harmony with the individual citizens, liberty then can act as a catalyst in elevating synergy within the community and society. These synergies will lead to stronger spiritual well-being, greater productivity, improved health, and development of wealth. And so there's a huge benefit of living in a liberal, or I should say a society that ensconces itself, you know, immerses itself in individual liberty and individual sovereignty, or just the fundamental principle of liberty in its fullest. So as we kind of look and you start understanding, I want you to understand one thing. If you are a true supporter of liberty and you are speaking to somebody that has degrees of compulsion, because remember, those people who live in liberty, it would be abhorrent and it would be wrong, and they would be willing to face the consequences of lying or committing any kind of harm to anybody, stealing, those types of things. However, when you go into subjugation, stealing is okay. Committing crime, it's okay. You're not held accountable or responsible. You do what you have to do. The ends justify the means. And so therefore, as we start looking at how how we start viewing these people, and you're having a conversation with somebody who aligns into the gray, the dark gray, or the black, just remember, whenever they tell you that we'll just have to agree to disagree, what they're really telling you, because their ideological wiring does not allow and does not give you the ability to maintain liberty, they're in the position of taking liberty and compulsion. So when they tell you that we'll have to agree to disagree, what that means is I haven't been able to destroy you as of yet, but I will continue to figure out how to, and when I can, I will. There is never peace in the hearts of those who believe in compulsion. They must pursue, 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 and then once they have full control, it's about enforce, enforce, enforce. There is never a day of, I don't want to say luxury, or a day of blessings and a day of rest. And if you think that the theological people who are bent on this as well, I mean, they go down, look at the Spanish Inquisition, look at some of the atrocities that Christianity has done, not in the name of Christ, but in the name of Satan, because they have taken the doctrine of Christianity and turned it into a compulsive doctrine, which is antithetical to the teachings of Christ. Anyway, so this is why this is kind of really important, to kind of lay this foundation as we start building upon the American dream and the American ideals, natural law, and those types of things. And so what I want to do is I want to provide you with what I would say are different perspectives regarding natural law and the Constitution and so forth. And so what I have is the theory and practice, and this is by Robert P. George, of natural law. And this is really kind of long, so I just want to do the introduction here. The concept of natural law is central to the Western tradition of thought about morality, politics, and law. Although the Western tradition is not united around a single theoretical account of natural law, its principal architects and leading spokesmen, from Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas to Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King, have shared fundamental beliefs that humanly created positive law is morally good or bad, just or unjust, depending on its conformity to the standards of a natural, vis-a-vis moral, law that is no mere human creation. The natural law is thus a higher law, albeit a law that is in principle accessible to human reason and not dependent on, though entirely compatible with, and indeed illuminated by, divine revelation. St. Paul, for example, refers to a law written on the heart, which informs the conscience of even the Gentiles who do not have the revealed law of Moses to guide them. Many centuries later, Thomas Jefferson appeals to, quote, the laws of nature and of nature's God, close quote, in justifying the American Revolution. Most modern commentators agree that the American founders were firm believers in natural law and sought to craft a constitution that would conform to its requirements as they understood them and embodied its basic principles for the design of a just political order. The framers of the Constitution sought to create institutions and procedures that would afford respect and protection to those basic rights, natural rights, that people possess, not as privileges or opportunities granted by the state, but as principles of natural law, which is the moral duty of the state to respect and protect. Throughout the 12th century, however, a lively debate has existed regarding the question of whether the Constitution incorporates natural law in such a way as to make it a source of judicial, enforceable, albeit unwritten, constitutional rights and other guarantees. In my remarks this evening, I will discuss two significant moments in this debate: the exchange between the majority dissenting justices in the 1965 Supreme Court case Griswold v. Connecticut, and an important effort by a distinguished constitutional law scholar, the late Edward Corden of Princeton University, to specify and draw out the implications of the rootedness of American constitutional law in natural law concepts. Now, so this gentleman goes, you know, down into, and he just drills into these two things. And so I think that's interesting to, you know, you kind of lay that out there. But what I want to do is I'm going to kind of give you my two cents on this. During the Middle Ages, many historians attest to the fact that natural law was in tandem God's laws. At the end of the 18th century, secular progressives also hijacked natural law, dividing it from God's law into a doctrinal divide for giving credibility to socialism and communism. This is because natural law, as a derivative of God's law, was universally accepted, which again gave leverage to progressives to divorce the connection to God from committing murder, bearing false witness, property rights, and etc. In essence, the Platonists, or in other words, communists or progressives, were setting up their own oppressive government that would be married to their religion. The end was to bring all back full circle, where the state controls everything. This was the fundamental argument of the communists since Plato, ultimately controlling the means of production and consumption. On the extreme end of controlling consumption is when the state will begin to control births. Communist countries do this today and have already begun this. Consequently, our once enlightened society has dug up horrific practices of eugenics, abortion, infanticide, which is now being practiced, and the use of technology to terminate the birth of an unborn infant with the wrong gender because of the benefits within society of those different genders. The penultimate end for the secular progressive is to transition all governments into centralized state. The ultimate end is to unify all states into a single governing body of the world. Now, I'm just going to take an aside right here. I'm going to help you understand that the United States has created a centralized government that controls so many facets of our life, and it's all unconstitutional. And we are in the position of being pushed into this world governing body, just so you understand where we are. This idea has been around a very long time, and to substantiate the resurgence of this idea at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 14th century, one only needs to read Dante's De Monarchia. This work, along with other ancient texts, I probably just mispronounced that, but this work, along with other ancient texts such as Plato's, has been a catalyst for the initial concept of the Illuminati, socialism, communism, and all forms of government that violates individual liberty and sovereignty. We'll be back with more of this in our next episode. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.